Praise God. We're glad you're here. We're delighted that you're here this morning. Amen. Amen. Tell somebody next to you, I'm glad you're here. Yeah. Yeah. Now look at them again and see if they're all here. Amen. Check them out. Kind of make a determination. Are they all here? Amen. If their eyes are kind of glassy, pray for them, because the Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. So you may have to pray for them, you know, and ask God to, living in this world, you know how it is. Amen. But we are delighted that you're here today, and God always has something special. Amen. For his kids. Praise God. And so I know you're ready to receive that, and we want to get that to you. Today we continue God's theme for the new year. Amen. And you can see it on the overhead. Victory. Victory. Say it again.
Victory. Victory.
Hallelujah. It is victory. It is a year of victory for you and your family. Amen. Last year, the Lord just kind of impressed us. Last year was a year of battle. Battle, battle. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How many got some, even had some battles this year? But I want you to know it's a year of victory. God said it's a year of victory. It's not just going to be all battles, but your victory is here this year. Oh, I like that. I can rap that, but I'm not a rapper, you know, obviously. Your victory is here this year. Tell somebody next to you, your victory is here this year. This year, amen. Amen. We're not putting it off in the sweet by and by or the whatever that is. It's here this year right now. Amen. And the Lord said, I'm focusing on Luke 6:38. It says, give and it shall be given. The Lord says, my people have given and given and given and given. How many have been a giver and you've given a lot in a lot of different areas? Come on, wave at me. You know you have. And God says, now I'm focusing on it shall be given. Amen. Some of you didn't get that. You're still kind of half asleep, but I understand that. I just thank God you're here. It shall be given. Somebody shout, it shall be given. God said it shall be given. Yeah. It shall be given, not just given. It shall be given a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God says, shall people give unto you. Amen. And he says, with the same measure that you have given, I'm going to give back to you and press it down and multiply it. We're on the it shall be given side. Somebody needs to prophesy of yourself, because I know we're kind of in a with life. Somebody say with me, it shall be given me by God. See, and it comes in money and the things money can't buy. There's some things money can't buy that you need, that if you had all the money, you still couldn't get it. Money can buy you some good medical care, but it can't heal you. Okay. And so God's saying it shall be given. It shall be given. And if God says it, how many know you can take that to the bank? And so we are focusing on the theme. God says, focus on the theme of the giving life. That was the first message of the year, the giving life. Amen. And God says, giving, much of what I have comes out of brokenness. Amen. If you notice, people that have been through something, they have something. Anybody been through something? Anybody going through something? Well, I want to tell you, God has something for you. I tell you, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost up here real good. Amen. This is your year for victory. Whatever the situation, this is your year for victory. Amen. Amen. And so we are celebrating the giving life, Luke 6:38, and I thank God for what he's doing and continuing this theme. We are continuing it this morning. Continuing the theme of the giving life, and we're going to continue it. We've got kind of a little tag team going here. I told you about it last week with my good friend and longtime supporter of this ministry. Amen. I want you to welcome back to the pulpit. He's fought and has, by faith, has overcome and is overcoming Crohn's disease for probably, 20, 30 years. And God is a man of faith. He walked by faith, but he's been through something. How many been through something? Going through something. And lately, has fought some cancer, and we're believing God. God's bringing him through that. But he's here today. Amen. And we all go through something. We've had two people have strokes, and they're here today. Paralyzed on one side, but they're not paralyzed on one side today. A little bit. They're still maybe 95% one, but that's good. I'll take that any day of the week. Amen. And so I want you to welcome with me my good friend, minister and teacher. Would you welcome John Michael Medicis with the message, Lifestyle. Lifestyle. God bless you, Michael. God bless you and use you.
Good morning. Could we pray, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come before you this morning. We thank you for everything that you do. You give us breath. You give us life. You give us the opportunity to live a lifestyle and follow your Son, the Lord Jesus of Nazareth, who's here, who's listening to us, who's ready to do anything that we need, who died on the cross, who did everything in the agony and the crucifixion to pay for all of our sin and all of our iniquity, all of the guilt and the fear and the condemnation and the sickness, all those things that seem to tear us down and tear us apart. Jesus of Nazareth paid every single bit of that price. But it's up to us in following you to find out who we are in you and what we're entitled to. So, Father, we bless you and we thank you and we wait on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I've got a bunch of notes up here. These are for sale, by the way. Just kidding. They're worth a lot, actually. I had cancer, by the way, 23 years ago, and the Lord literally, and I mean literally, took it away. So I wanna give the Lord credit, because a lot of people say, well, I've never seen a miracle. My response to that is, you might not. If you don't believe that God does it today, if you're one of those people that think that Jesus of Nazareth isn't the same yesterday, today, and forever, then maybe you won't see what I saw happen literally in my own body. And they DNA'd my tissue for months and years after that. Anyway, I didn't come to talk about that because that's talking about me, and that's not going to help you much at all. What I came to talk about this morning was what I felt the Lord gave me actually a couple months ago. I mentioned it to Pastor Ron about 4 weeks ago or so. The Lord began to quicken in me the thing that he wanted me to mention this morning. And it's a very simple concept and a very simple truth. And as Pastor Ron asked me to present this a few weeks ago, there came a time when I was preparing it when I simply couldn't get from the Lord what I thought he wanted me to say. One of the problems in the Lord talking with us, I think, is often we don't realize that God speaks spirit to spirit. How many people realize that? We're spirit creatures. A lot of people don't understand that we're spirit creatures, and when we don't understand that, we tend to focus on what? Our flesh. And we focus on the things that we can feel, taste, smell, touch, the things that we can, the things we're aware of with our senses, with our five senses. But we're spirit creatures, and God speaks spirit to spirit. So when he spoke to me, I knew that he talked to me, and I understood that he had something to say, but it wasn't until I began to question whether to come in and talk about this or whether to call Pastor Ron and say, listen, I don't think I can do it, that the Lord actually gave it to me in a word. And the word was one word. The word was lifestyle. How many people know what a lifestyle is? Let me just read for you out of the dictionary what a lifestyle is. Lifestyle is defined as a particular way of living, the way a person or group of people live, the typical way of life of an individual, group, or culture of a citizen. Pastor May really preached what I came to talk about this morning a little earlier when she talked about being citizens of the kingdom. And so as spirit creatures and as spirit to spirit, we're part of another kingdom. We're part of the kingdom that you can't see right now, but it's here every bit as much as the fleshly kingdom. And what the Lord wanted me to give in a few words, I'm not going to take long this morning, at least I don't think so. What the Lord wanted me to talk about was lifestyle. That sometimes we are so intent on following God or finding God or finding out how to do it, and we hear so many things on TV, in books, in magazines, and tapes, even in our own understanding of the Word, that we try and model the behavior that we think is Christian, and we try and do that behavior. That is, we try to follow Jesus in the way that we think we're supposed to follow Him. And so often we can become confused on what He wants us to do and what He's called us to. And so the problem is that one of the problems is, as the Lord explained it to me, that we're following in our own minds sometimes something that we consider religious. And by that I mean we're following something that we think God would be pleased with and something that would be acceptable to God and something that would gain us brownie points. How many want brownie points with God? Anybody want brownie points with God? Well, you don't do it by being religious, because the Sadducees and the Pharisees, who, by the way, tithed, they didn't have a problem with it. They really didn't. They gave, they prayed. You know what Jesus called them? He said they were a brood of vipers. He said, your whitewashed sepulchers or graves. On the outside you look good, but inside you're filled with dead men's bones. You search the Scriptures because you think in them you'll find life, but you won't come to Me. You won't have relationship with Me. And so in the idea of following the Lord Jesus of Nazareth, as I was coming in this morning, and I had to search for it because I know the Scripture pretty well, I think, but I don't know the address of a lot of the Scriptures that the Lord's taught me. But as I was coming in this morning, the Lord quickened the Scripture to me. It's 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. You don't have to turn to it. The Apostle Paul says, "But I'm afraid lest as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ." And so our lifestyle and those things that we think about and those things that we hear about that we're convinced we need to do so that we can follow Jesus often are things that burden us and weigh us down and make us feel as if somehow we're not as good or we're not worthy or we're not the same as other Christians or we're not doing enough. How many feel like they haven't done enough sometimes? Then the enemy comes and he says, "You not only haven't done enough, you're not going to make it to heaven. You're not even saved." It's probably one of the biggest attacks he has. But what the Lord wanted me to talk about and share was simply the lifestyle of Jesus. And the lifestyle of Jesus is that He's the way, He's the truth, and He's the life. Some disciples came to the Lord Jesus one day and they asked Him a question. They said, "What must we do to do the works of God?" And Jesus said, "Well, let me see. Let me get out my list. I gave it to my son. I don't know if he wrote it down right. Let's see, you have to tithe, you have to pray, fast." None of that. Jesus didn't say any of that. Here's what He said. When the disciples asked Jesus, "What must we do?" What Jesus said to do the works of God, what Jesus said is, "Believe in He whom He has sent." Jesus said, "What you need to do is follow Me." That is, there's a lifestyle that you need to follow, and that's following Me. It's not what somebody tells you it is. It's not what somebody instructs you. It's not what somebody on TV says you've got to do. If you send in $58, you'll get back $58,000 or whatever the message is. What Jesus said by His lifestyle was He's the one that we're to listen to. He's the one that we're called to follow. And so a lifestyle is not something that we necessarily do because we're aware of what we're doing. We've made a decision already to follow the Lord Jesus of Nazareth. How many in here believe in Jesus of Nazareth? Do you know, as I was sitting here, the Lord reminded me that there are a lot of people that don't. There are a lot of people that don't. I don't know how many people I've talked to in the course of my profession, and I would imagine all of you have had some experience, that don't believe in Jesus. They don't want to hear about Jesus. They don't want to talk about Jesus. They don't want to even think about what they call religion, because that's who they think Jesus is. They think Jesus is a religion. That is, he's whatever formula, he's whatever behavior, he's whatever group of behaviors that you think you need to do to follow him. So what they fail to see and what they fail to discern and what they've not yet received is the lifestyle and the spirit of the Lord Jesus of Nazareth. And following Jesus is a lifestyle. It's doing the simple things that Jesus tells us in his word to do. Now, one of the things that I think we need to think about is, okay, give us an example. Because if we're spirit creatures and we want to follow Jesus, what's one thing we could do that would show that we really believe in this lifestyle that we're following? We come to church. We tithe. We tithe because there's a connection between the spirit realm and the natural realm. And that's one of the best examples that I could think of, or that the Lord gave me, of the two realms and the way they're connected in the lifestyle that we're living. And that's tithing and offering, or tithing and giving. If you look at the book of Malachi and you read what God says about tithing, God makes a point of connecting the natural realm and the spirit realm. And he does it not because he needs 10% of our money. He does it because the two are connected. If you're going to live a lifestyle for Jesus and you're going to follow him, you want to do the things that he tells you to do. And one of the things he tells you to do is to tithe and to offer or to give. And a lot of people have a problem with that. I mean, frankly, it's a little crazy to give money in a basket to someone you can't see unless there really is a Savior and there really is a Jesus of Nazareth that you're following. It's a little crazy to do that unless he really is real and he really is there to help you and bless you, and he really is going to keep the promises in his book, and you really believe in the covenant that he made with each one of us. The covenant of forgiveness, deliverance, healing, restoration, and rest. It's a little crazy to put money into a basket unless you believe in the lifestyle that you've chosen. And a lot of people, as I mentioned, just don't want to do that. They don't want anything to do with it. Now, a lot of people say, well, I don't believe in God, or I don't believe in religion. Well, I hate religion, frankly, but God's a different story, and the Lord Jesus of Nazareth, I don't believe is real thrill with religion either. So it's not religion we're talking about, it's relationship. The lifestyle that God was talking to me about is this relationship with the Lord Jesus. It's not all the instructions, it's not all the behaviors, it's not all the things we think we're supposed to do. It's following a God that is so willing to enter into the details of our lives that he asks us to believe that when we step forward and we do something like giving 10% or giving a token in a basket to represent that we believe in this spirit realm, we believe in Jesus of Nazareth that we can't see, that we have hope and we have an assurance, the substance. We have faith, we have a belief in a God that we can't see. When we do that, when we put money in that basket, we're proving that we believe and we trust a God that we can't see, and we're following a Jesus that we believe is going to keep the promises that he made in his book. So the point that I want to make about lifestyle is very simple, really. And that's that we are new creations. We're spirit creatures. We live in a body. We possess a soul. But primarily, the thing that we need to understand is, as spirit creatures, when we hear God, and we hear God through his book and by his Holy Spirit, when we hear God, we follow God. When we hear Jesus, we follow Jesus. And there are a lot of people, I think, that are confused about what that lifestyle involves. It's really, really very simple. It's following a God that gives instructions just the way He does in His book. He gives instructions by His Spirit. He speaks by His Spirit. He touches us by His Spirit. And He gives us opportunities to show that we really trust Him. I read recently that it's hard to believe that people that won't tithe or people that won't give say that they believe and trust Jesus for their salvation all of eternity, forever and ever. But they don't trust God to give 10% or to give a tithe. They have a problem with that. And frankly, I did too when I began to walk with the Lord. He dealt with me one time when I was sitting in the fourth row in this little church here 29 years ago. He dealt with me or began to deal with me about it. But one of the things that we can be assured of is this lifestyle is not complicated. This lifestyle that we're talking about of following Jesus of Nazareth is not a difficult thing, but it's not something that we can ignore. We need, of course, to understand first that we're spirit creatures, and we need to recognize no man according to the flesh. Let me mention that because that is a scripture the Lord pointed out to me, and that's in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the 16th verse. When we come in here sometimes in the morning, or when people go to church in other places as well, often they look at the people that are there. Do they have a suit on? Do they have certain clothes? Do they drive certain cars? They'll watch who comes up and who gives and who doesn't. And they're so focused on the other people that are there and the things that they're doing. And then they go out the back door. And one of the things that they've just done is they've just violated the word. Because the Bible says we know no man, or we recognize no man according to the flesh. Even though we knew Jesus according to the flesh, we know Him thus that way no longer. Here's my point. We're spirit creatures. We're here. And we're ready to walk a lifestyle that we can't really, really fully understand. We have to trust a God that's guaranteed us certain things. As Pastor May pointed out, He's guaranteed us certain things. He simply asks us to show that we do trust Him. And He does it in some very simple ways. Tithing is one. It's probably the most difficult thing that most Christians deal with, and that's why I'm going to say it a number of times. Tithing is an offering is one of the most difficult things that most of us will ever have to deal with when it comes to the lifestyle of walking with the Lord. It's the thing that the enemy, or one of the things the enemy will do to try and keep believers away from church and away from the lifestyle of walking with the Lord, because the enemy will try and convince people that it is crazy to put money into a basket and into a place that you can't see and into a realm that you walk in and you have problems in. It's crazy to give your money away. That's what the enemy will say. What does God say? God says, look, give, and it'll be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Men will give into your bosom. Now, Jesus of Nazareth didn't make a promise that He didn't keep, and He hasn't made a promise that He won't keep. What He asks us to do is to recognize, as Malachi pointed out, that this natural realm that I talked about connects in the spirit realm, and though we can't see it, we can experience it. One of the ways you experience it is by doing it. Anybody want to really experience God? If you haven't been tithing and you haven't been offering, and you haven't been giving, and you're not a giver and you're not a tither, start doing it. Start doing what God says is the lifestyle of a believer. Because those that follow Jesus are going to be givers. It's part of what you are and part of who the new creation is. It's part of what the new creation does. It gives. It's another way of understanding that we're citizens of a realm that we can't yet see. But when our flesh is stripped off, we're going to see it in all its glory. And so really what we're doing is, in this lifestyle that I'm talking about, we're really doing what they're doing in heaven. We're doing what they're doing in heaven. The lifestyle in heaven is a very specific lifestyle. Now, I haven't been there, but there are people that have been. The Apostle Paul was one. But there's a lifestyle in heaven. And I personally believe that God wants to reveal that lifestyle on earth. After all, we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus isn't trying to make this difficult, and he isn't trying to make it complicated. Jesus of Nazareth has done everything that needs to be done. He simply says, come, follow me. That's the lifestyle that he asks us to believe in and the lifestyle he asks us to follow. So the last point I wanted to make is that, as Pastor May pointed out, as citizens of the kingdom, there are certain things we can expect, and there are certain things that we are going to receive. And if you walk with the Lord for any period of time, and by grace and mercy, I've been alive a lot longer than I should have been. If you walk with the Lord, you begin to see the pattern. You begin to see the way the Lord touches and the way the Lord gives and the way the Lord promotes and the way the Lord preserves and the way the Lord continually, even in the details of the things that we might consider insignificant, provides. So if you've walked with the Lord for any period of time, you know that what he does is he treats us as citizens of a kingdom that we're going to spend all eternity enjoying. And so we can have that now to the extent that we're willing to follow him now in the lifestyle that he gives us. And it's not, again, what everybody tells you to do. It's not what everyone instructs you you're supposed to do. This book, the Bible, that most people don't read, a lot of people don't read it. This book is not just a book. It's alive. It's active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. That's Hebrews 4:12. The Holy Spirit makes this book alive and active. And he gives us, again, the opportunity simply by reading the Bible, simply by reading the Word, simply by becoming givers and becoming tithers and following him in the things that he's called us to in whatever area of life we walk in. He gives us an opportunity to see glimpses of the heavenly realm and to enjoy our citizenship on earth as it is in heaven. Let me give the scripture that I believe proves that what I'm saying is correct. How many believe that there's a spirit realm? How many believe, now this is some crazy theology for you unless you know what's in the book. How many believe that people in the spirit realm, that is in heaven, can see what's going on earth? Okay, because there's scripture that says they can. How much can they see? I'm not sure. Can they see the things that we do? Yeah, they can. The Bible says that since you have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding you, let us run with endurance the race set before you, or let us live the lifestyle that we're called to live. Let's look at Jesus instead of looking at each other and sizing each other up one side and down the next. Let's stop doing that and let's start following Jesus of Nazareth, who we can't see, but we can certainly hear, because he'll certainly speak to us in very clear ways. And he doesn't ask anything that is hard or anything that we can't do. He's done it all for us. He simply asks us to walk in the footsteps of the citizens of the kingdom that he's made us. He's already seated us together with him in heavenly places. Everybody know that's in the book? He's placed us already with him in heaven, as citizens of heaven. We're already citizens of heaven. We're not going to change our citizenship. We're not going to, we were strangers and aliens, but now we're citizens of a different kingdom. And so what we have to understand is that this thing that we are doing, that often we look at and we look at it as behavior, that is coming to church, reading God's word, tithing, is a lifestyle. It's a way of living. It's a way of believing and a way of trusting a God that we can't see, but we can hear, and we can experience all the blessings and all the love and mercy and healing that He pours out for us and will give us if we'll simply follow Him. So that's the word this morning. It's not complicated. It's really very simple. And the Lord summed it up for me, as I said, in the word lifestyle. He summed it up because I think sometimes, just as I like to read books. When I was in my occupation, I would get up in the morning and I would read. And I sometimes would read one book a week, sometimes two. But I read a lot of Christian books for 25, 26, 27 years. I read books. I read because I wanted to confirm that I was hearing God and I wanted to know more about God and so on. My point is that in reading and getting to know the Savior and getting to know Jesus of Nazareth, I experienced a lot of different things that a lot of people said that you should do to follow the Savior. And there were many times that I became kind of confused and a bit uncertain about what my responsibilities were and what God expected from me and what God wanted from me, because I was receiving so much information and the Holy Spirit wasn't telling me to do that. Now, sometimes He wanted me to, but sometimes, and most of the time, He wanted me to read His Word and read His book. And so I often began to complicate what I was doing with the things that I was receiving, the books that I was reading, the things that I was seeing, watching Christian television. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But I began to really, really, really confuse that with what Jesus calls us to do. And so the two are not the same. And what I want to say about lifestyle again is what God said to me. He summed it up in a word. It's simply that He's the way, He's the truth, and He's the life. Follow Him, talk to Him, let Him talk to you. Let the Holy Spirit communicate with you and commune with you. And we do that again through fellowship with each other. I've got a couple friends here this morning that I have a wonderful opportunity to fellowship with. And I look at it and I think, God, what a blessing. What an absolute blessing to have pastors and friends and members of church that we can talk to about our relationship with God, about our needs, about our weaknesses, about our iniquity, about our sin, about our failure, about our successes. It's all about Him, though. It's all about Jesus. It's about the lifestyle of the believer. It's about learning that it's not complicated. God's not asking us to do something we can't do. He's asking us to follow Him. And in exchange for that, Jesus gives us everything. With that, I'm going to close. Well, Father, we bless You. We worship You. Father, we come together this morning not because we have to, but because You gave us strength and the encouragement and the prompting by Your Holy Spirit to be here this morning. And Father, we could even take that for granted. And the enemy sometimes might want to whisper, yeah, it wasn't you that got yourself here. But the truth is that Jesus of Nazareth knew every single person that would be here this morning. So that person that feels as if there's something missing in their life or that God's not aware of what you need, be well aware that He knows exactly what you need and He's ready and willing and able to meet that need. Well, Father, we bless You and we worship You. We thank You and we praise You for the opportunity to be here this morning, to worship this morning. Father, we ask that You would burn in our spirits and that You would cause us to know what it is that following Jesus involves and what it means to follow Your Son and what it means to serve You and what it means to please You and what it means to be a citizen of a kingdom that we can't yet see, but a kingdom that can see us and waits for us to accomplish on earth what You've given each one of us to do until we're ready to come to our heavenly home. Father, we bless you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yes, yes, yes. Just let the Lord minister. Amen. Amen. Prophetic word is in the house, and Mike has blessed me many times, and I know God has spoken through him. He speaks through many of us, speaks through his people. Amen. And so whatever the Lord's put on your heart for whoever, take your liberty.
I'm just going to take a minute, if I could. We could just wait on the Lord for just a moment. I felt like the Lord had a word or two or three or four this morning, and I want to be obedient to give those words. There's a young lady that has a striped. I'm pointing at you. I don't know if you can see me. Yeah, that's you. Can you stand up, please? What's your first name? I'm sorry? Do you know what your name means? Okay. When you get a chance, look up your name. And the Holy Spirit will talk to you about the meaning of your name, okay? I feel like the Lord wants me to tell you that He's deeply in love with you. Did you know that? Have you ever wondered about that? Because God wants me to tell you that He's deeply in love with you. And the Lord wants me to give you an encouragement that Jesus, who's listening to me talk with you right now, is ready to take you into a deeper relationship than you've ever been with him before. And he wants to do that, and he wants to give you some encounters with him because he's designed you to have dreams and visions. Do you have dreams? Okay. Well, you're going to have more. And they're going to be more vivid and more colorful and more meaningful than they've ever been because they're going to be about the kingdom. So the Lord wants me to encourage you that as he pours out his Spirit on you and draws you closer to him, don't be afraid of that, but seek him with all your heart and seek him in the early morning hours. I don't know what time you get up, but seek him early in the morning, okay? Does this make sense to you? Okay. He loves you deeply. Look up your name. Seek him with all your heart, and he's going to pour out dreams and visions in your life in the days to come. Okay? This young man in the gray shirt, could you stand up, please? Do you mind if I give you a word? What's your first name? Bruce, have you looked up your name? Okay. Do it, because it has significant meaning. And the Holy Spirit wants you to do it. Okay? And you're going to see some things in your name, and he's going to reveal some things about your life. How old are you? I feel like the Lord wants me to tell you that there have been some seasons in your life, even at the age of 33. And some of those seasons you've tried to understand, and you've not understood those seasons. Some of those things that you've experienced that you haven't been able to categorize or put in certain boxes, the Lord wants you to understand that you're not supposed to. That he has his hand on you for his purposes, and because he's graced you for a time, for a season, for a purpose, and for a reason. And so, Bruce, you're not here this morning by accident, and you're not here because you want something to do. You're here because God has things that he's called you to, and works that were ordained before the foundation of the world for you to walk in. And in the next 5 to 7 years, you're going to begin to see those things happen more and more and more. And the seasons that you're coming into, when I say seasons, I mean things that you experience from God, things that you hear from God, things that you receive from God, things that you learn about God. In the seasons that are coming up in your life, you also want to draw nearer and nearer to the Lord. The Bible says, draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Because in the days to come, God's given you an ability, or he's given you some skills, I should say, that few people have. Does that make sense to you? Do you understand what I'm talking about? Okay. Everybody else doesn't need to understand it. This is for you. God's given you some specific skills and some specific experiences, even at the age of 33. And the enemy said to you, well, Bruce, those are not really of value. Is that right? Okay. Well, that's not true. Those are of value. And the Lord wants you to know that in the days to come, he's going to use those things that he's put on the inside of you in ways that you never dreamed he could. But he put them there. And you want to use those skills and those experiences. You want to use those things that he's put on the inside of you. So know that in the days to come and in the seasons that are coming in your life, you might not understand the season, but understand that it's a God who prepared you before the foundation of the world and called you to walk with him and called you to follow him. And he's pleased with you and he loves you deeply. God bless you. There's a lady, I'm not sure if you have a, yes. Could you stand up, please? What's your name? Senator, can I give you a word? Do you know what your name means? Okay, what does it mean? If you don't mind telling everybody. That's right. Do you understand how important that name is to you? Okay. I feel like the Lord wants me to just encourage you this morning. He wants you to know that you're the apple of his eye, that you're a woman that deeply, deeply, deeply loves him, and your heart has been shattered, and your heart's been broken. And the Lord Jesus wants you to know that he is there for you because he's binding up those wounds that have occurred over quite some period of time. I would ask you how old you are, but I don't think that's a good thing to do. But I ask names and ages because it's prophetic, not because I'm nosy. Look up your age in this book, in the book of Isaiah. Look up your age. Let's say you're 54 or 24. Look up the age that you are. And God's going to show you something in that. I think I know what it is, but God's going to show you something about the plan that he's called you to. I want to give you one encouraging word that I think the Lord wants me to put in this way. The ministry that God's called you to, you haven't even started yet. Do you know that? Okay. And the Lord wants you to know that you've been in a time of preparation. And as I have heard a teacher by the name of Andrew Womack say, no time in preparation is wasted. And so I think the Lord wants me to tell you and encourage you that you're just beginning the ministry that he's called you to. And he's binding up those wounds. And he's allowing the brokenness that you've allowed to draw closer to him and to prepare you for those things to come in the days to come. Bless you, sister. And I think I have one other prophetic word. This young man here, what, could you stand up, please? What's your first name? I'm sorry, again? Isaiah. Okay. Well, that was just an accident. How old are you? You don't mind if I ask your age, do you? Because I'm old, but you're not. How old are you? 15? Okay. Have you ever received a word from anyone? You have? Okay, and it's okay if I give you one? Okay. Do you know that you're in a special generation called the Joshua generation? Did you know that? Well, let me be maybe the first one to tell you that. I won't be the last. Men and women are going to come along in the days to come, and they're going to tell you that you're part of the Joshua generation. They're not going to tell you something odd or unusual. They're going to tell you that exact thing. That you're part of a generation that is called by God to walk in purity and simplicity with Jesus of Nazareth and to follow him because he's coming back. Most people your age are not here today. Did you know that? Did you know that you were named and he knew you before the foundation of the world? And your name means something. Do you know what it means? So what I want to encourage you to do is don't wait until you are 36 years old like I did to follow him. Do what you're doing now. live for Him, consume His book, get to know this book better than you know anything else. Get to know His Word. And know that He loves you deeply and that He's got His eye on you. Yeah, God's watching you. He really is. And He wants me to tell you that. And it's not because He's not pleased with you either. Because the enemy's going to come along and say, you've done this and you've done that and you shouldn't have done this and you shouldn't have done that. And the Lord Jesus is here today. And He wants you to know that He's pleased with you. And He wants you to follow Him. And He's going to pour out a greater prophetic anointing on you than you ever imagined in the days to come. Because as part of the Joshua generation, He's called you to help raise up this group of young people that often don't want to be in a church and often don't want to follow Him. And a lot of them don't want to believe in Him. And so I would encourage you to continue to seek Him and to listen to Him. And the Lord wants you to know He's going to speak with you more and more in the midnight hours. He's going to wake you up in the middle of the night. Does that happen now? Okay, it's going to start happening. Okay? And when He does that, He's not going to wake you up and be silent. He's going to wake you up and He's going to have something to say. And He wants to talk to you. He's not trying to interrupt your sleep, but He wants you to draw near to Him, and He is going to draw near to you in ways that will help you in what He's called you to as part of the Joshua generation. Watch and see if this word isn't true. Men and women are going to witness to what I've told you, that you're part of a special group of people that are going to watch the King return to the earth. He's preparing you as part of that generation. Okay? Bless you. I just want to say one thing before I finish. A lot of times when I was in a service and I didn't get a word, I felt like I was passed over. And I've gotten words now and again. Not a lot of them. But I've gotten some words. And again, one of the things that always bothered me was I didn't get one. And I would frankly complain. I'd say, God, I didn't get one. I'm just going to be honest with you. And I could prophesy to everybody in here if the Lord would give me the strength and the time. But I'm almost out of strength. And you probably are almost out of time. So I want everyone here, every single person, to know that the Lord deeply loves you. He deeply, deeply loves you. And if you want a word from God and you haven't gotten one, He wrote a book. He wrote a book. And I want to tell you something. After 29 years, I'm going to be real straight with you right now. After 29 years, God has to remind me that He wrote a book. And He does it in some of the craziest ways. He really, really, really has to get us to look at Him and understand that He loves us and that He wants to be involved in the details of our lives. But we've got to look at this book and we've got to listen to His Holy Spirit. And we can do that anytime, and we should be doing it all the time. So if you haven't received a word and you want a word, it's not because God doesn't want to give you one. He desperately wants to communicate with everyone here. And He'll do it one way or the other. So please don't feel as if the Lord is shunning you or not aware of your desire to have Him speak directly to you. I know my sister right here with the red hair. Yeah. I know the Lord talks to you. Is that true? Okay. And you've received a word or two. Okay. And you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. The difference is that He's going to talk to you more and more and more because you talk to Him a lot. You wear His ear out. You know that? You really do. You really, really like to talk to Him. So with that, by the way, that's a great thing. Wish I could say that about myself. So with that, I'm gonna close now. It's 10 till 12, but thank you all for your time. I appreciate everyone listening to me and everyone being here this morning.
Let's stand together. Would you stand? Let's stand together. Thank you, brother. That was a beautiful word. When you said the one word when we talked some weeks ago, you said God gave you one word when you couldn't put it together, and you said you were going to call me and say, Pastor, I don't think I have a word because I just can't get anything. And then you called me back, and God spoke to you, and he spoke one word, and that word was lifestyle. And as soon as you said lifestyle, I knew that was God. Amen. God is speaking to us, the church, about our lifestyle, the way we do things. Amen? And how many know he's also talking to America about her lifestyle? And how many know the lifestyle of America is changing daily, moment by moment? Lifestyles are changing all around the world. And the only lifestyle that is going to remain is the lifestyle of following Jesus. The Bible says the kingdoms of this world are falling to the kingdom of our God. Hallelujah. And the kingdom that shall stand shall be the kingdom that Daniel and all of the men and women of God throughout the entire Word of God. And I believe God is challenging us. Our men's rep told us the one word God was speaking to men was challenge. God is challenging us in the little paper in your bulletin, prioritize your priorities. Let God talk to you about your lifestyle. Not me, not Brother Michael. We're not here. We're not lords over God's flock. We are helpers. I'm not here to be a shepherd, only an under-shepherd. Amen. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to encourage you on what he's told us to do. And so God is speaking to us about our lifestyles. And he will speak to you. He doesn't need me to tell you anything. He's God, and you can hear his voice through his word, and even just walking through your day, God will speak a word to you. Amen. If you're in tune. I may know God is a communicator. He has frequencies. We talked to the youth at their crush night, the youth service, Friday night, and God had me speak a word to them about Samuel and how Samuel, remember Samuel heard the word of the Lord three times? Eli didn't hear that word. And it's a known fact they have a mosquito frequency, a mosquito type of thing that they discovered that only young people can hear. It's a frequency God has just for young people. And if they don't hear it when they're young, they won't hear it when they get older. God has frequencies for us older folks. But God, Isaiah, you're on a frequency. God's got a frequency for our young people. Amen. And there's a lot of noise, a lot of noise. Facebook, what are all the rest of them? You know what they all are. Yeah, Snapchat, all that kind of stuff. And we can't hardly get out of the Facebook to get in the book. Come on. Or to get quiet enough to even hear what frequency God has for us because of the noise in our world today. But the kingdoms of this world are falling right now. And God is saying the only kingdom that will stand is the kingdom of God. Whoo, I feel the Holy Ghost. And God is saying, I put you in that kingdom, and if you're not in that kingdom today, you can be. God wants you to be born again. Give your heart to Jesus Christ. Come out of the kingdom of this world and come into the kingdom of God. Be a citizen of his kingdom. Get the rights and responsibilities and the blessings of his kingdom. And so I invite you today, if you're not in that kingdom yet, say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I give you my life. I repent. I change my mind about your way versus my way. And I will follow your way. You are the Yahweh. You're God. You're the Lord. And your kingdom is the kingdom I want to be in and part of. Because it's the only kingdom that I've heard today, and I know it's truth in my spirit. It's the only kingdom that's going to stand in these last days. Amen. Whew. Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I thank you for what you're doing, what you've said this morning, lifestyle, and I bless you. Let us live the lifestyle. I said, let us live the lifestyle. I don't want just to talk it. God wants me to walk it. Woo. He'll help me walk it. I may not always get it right. I'm not sure anybody does, but God will help us in our walk. Every walk is individual. Every walk is separate. Every walk is special. That's why I can't tell you what to do, because your walk is not my walk. But it is the same kingdom, and we have the same King, and His name is Jesus. Amen. Michael, thank you for that word. God is challenging us about our lifestyle. Whew. Lord, help us to hear your voice and line it up. Whatever is not of the kingdom of God, help us to run from that kingdom and run into your kingdom. Whew. Somebody say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, on this terra firma. Yeah, just kind of touch. Yeah. On earth. I mean, no, he made us from the dust. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation. He won't lead you into temptation, but he'll keep you from falling into it. If you will honor him, amen, he will keep you from falling into temptation. We are all tempted. Jesus was tempted without sin. Lord, lead us not, help us not to fall into temptation that is trying, has come to try all the world. Help us not to fall into temptation, but deliver us. Somebody shout, deliver us from evil. Woo, hallelujah. Deliver us from evil. Deliver every man, woman, every boy and girl in this sanctuary. Deliver our families. Deliver our loved ones. Deliver our children. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom. There's the kingdom. Thine is the kingdom. It's not my kingdom come. It's your kingdom come. You didn't want to get that. Tell somebody next to you, not your kingdom come. Tell them one more time, because they were looking at you with funny eyes when you said that. Tell them, not your kingdom come, but his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. I love you. God loves you. God bless you. Thank you for being a part of this celebration today. Have the best week of your life. The Lord bless you. May this week be a great week. Amen. And may God speak to you in special ways as you walk in his kingdom. Amen. As it comes in your life. I love you. Love one another. God bless you. Thank you. Michael Medici's teacher. Amen. Thank you. Prophetic word. Thank you so much. God bless you. Amen.